Hi, everybody. Good to be here. I'm going to talk about Ulambana today. I was talking to Bonnie, and this is sort of a teaching, sort of an interesting aspect of Mahayana Buddhism, not found in Theravada Buddhism, and something we do every year at the meditation center where I live and work. And this year, it's next week. So we're going to talk about going to hell. That's an important topic for a lot of us. And what can we do about it? You know? So a long, long time ago, the Buddha had a very special monk named Moggallana. And he was a follower of the Buddha and eventually became ordained as a monk following the Buddha, and he achieved nirvana. He became an arhat. Now, when you become an arhat, you have special characteristics that arise. And one of those is to be able to see into past lives. So he was curious. He wanted to see where his mother and father went after they died. So he found his father. His father was in heaven. He found his mother. His mother was in hell. Apparently, she had done something that just ruined her karma, and now she found herself in the hell realm of the hungry ghosts. Now, when you find yourself as a hungry ghost, you have this giant body, really tall, just a pinhole for a mouth, and a giant stomach, which means you can never eat enough. You're always hungry, looking for more food, but that little pinhole mouth prevents you from really consuming anything. So Moggallana, in seeing that his mother was in hell, in the hungry ghost realm, said, I'm an arhat, I'm a follower of the Buddha, I'm going to offer her food. So he went to hell to offer his mother food. And every time he extended the food in his hand to his mother, it turned into fire. And she couldn't eat it. And she became even more hungry. And now Moggallana said, what can I do? What can I do? He went to ask the Buddha, my mother's in hell. She's starving. She doesn't have enough food. Can you help me? What should I do? And the Buddha said, this is what you could do. You could offer the Sangha, the monks, food. Offer them food. And then when you offer them food, you get great merit. And with that merit, you can transfer it to your mother, and she can be reborn out of hell into a heaven realm. So it said he petitioned the monks in the 10 directions to come so he could offer dana, food. And they came. And he fed them, and he got the merit, and he transferred the merit to his mother, and his mother immediately was reborn out of the hungry ghost realm into a heaven realm. So we have like 32 heavens and 32 hells. We have so many places to go. But the idea in Buddhism is the hell and heaven realms are just sort of temporary. A really long temporary. And then once you're reborn out of the hell realms or the heaven realms, if you're lucky enough to be reborn in the human realm, we all made it. You find the Dharma, you do your practice, and son of a gun, nirvana. You become an arhat. You never have to be reborn again. You get to live in nirvana for eternity, because nirvana is unborn and undying. So you don't cease to exist, but you cease to exist because of birth. And the problem we all have is we were born. And the problem with being born is we all have to die. And on the road between birth and death, all we do is suffer. According to Buddhism. But it's really a good incentive, isn't it? Suffering. So, what do we do at our center to celebrate Ulambana? Well, the first thing we do, in the past we have taken bamboo, and we tie the bamboo to the front door. And the reason we have bamboo tied to the front door is when the wind blows through the bamboo, all the spirits hear the rustling of the bamboo. And they know there's food available for them in the meditation center, as well as a Dharma talk that will enable them to be reborn into either a heaven realm or achieve nirvana. But if you're a spirit and you're living on earth, you got nothing to do. You can't talk to anybody, you can't go anyplace, you're just sort of hanging out. To be on earth, you need to be human, according to Buddhism. And then you have a chance of having a life, but there's no life for a spirit on earth. So we want them to go to heaven. We want them to be reborn. And for some reason, they didn't know what to do when they died. So I would recommend, and I know this is going to sound really weird to a lot of people, but we go up to our clergy and we say, please, tell me how to live. How can I be friends with my mother again? Tell me something important. But the most important thing would be, please, tell me how to die. Because one day it'll happen. And I probably won't be prepared. I'll be surprised. You know, because it's, who expects to die? We do eventually, but man, it's so far in the future we don't give it a second thought. But every time I hit the 405 freeway, I'm thinking this could be the day. You know? So the clergy can help us. Every tradition has a different way to die. We were talking a little bit earlier about somebody from another tradition saying, you know what, if you're not from my tradition, you're going to go to hell. And I say to them, but you know what, I can't go to your hell because I'm not of your tradition. I get to go to my hell. So we have the bamboo now with the wind rustling and all the spirits are starting to come to the front door. We have these giant wooden clackers and we clack and we clack and we clack, almost deafening the sound. And then they know it's okay to come into the zendo because the Dharma talk is about to happen. So we petition the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to come down and help with all the spirits that need advice on how to get out of the human realm into the spirit realm, into the heaven realm. So it's a pretty good talk. It's a long one, but it's a pretty good talk. Then we say, if we have a mother or a father or an uncle, or a brother, or a sister, a friend, or extended relative, think about them. Think about them. Picture them in your mind. Wish them well. This is the day when you wish them well. Even if they didn't go to hell, wish them well. Because their journey continues according to Buddhism. It didn't stop when they died. It's just time for the next birth to happen. Time to do something new, a brand new body. I can hardly wait. Get that little baby body that's just going to have 20, 30, 40 years of really healthy activity. And then you get that sort of middle-aged body, which is not quite as healthy or active. And then you get that sort of old-age body. I'm starting to get that. It's happening. I like to take naps. I'm not as strong as I used to be, but I'm okay with a little weakness here and there. And it's getting time now to go get that fishing pole and go sit by the river and just look at the clouds. That's, you know, that's the deal. We work really hard, we become somebody, you know, we become important, and then at some point you have to say, no, it's done. I've done my work. Now I just want to reflect. I just want to look back and say, what did I do? Am I glad that I came here? Am I happy that I was born in this time frame? Have I done things that have changed people's lives or made their life just a little bit better? Has that made my life just a little bit better? So we reflect a lot on all the ancestors before us. And it's because of them that we're here today. I never figured that out until I became a Buddhist. I never thought about great-great-grandfathers or grandmothers. I'm thinking they're dead and gone, you know. And I've got to get a job and find a place to live. I'm working hard, you know. But because of all those people, and in Buddhism, infinite amount of people. You know, we don't have a first family. I'm sorry to say, Adam and Eve isn't part of our cosmology. So we've sort of like always been there at some level, and we'll always be there. And so those ancestors now have a greater significance. So after the service, the first thing we do is we set up a table before the memorial altar, and we fill it with food, 10, 20 dishes of food. And all the dead people in those pictures are looking down on the food. And the cool thing about that is, generally speaking, when you have your picture taken, you're smiling. So all those dead people are smiling at the food they're about to eat, in a symbolic way. You know, I haven't seen any disappear. And then we, you know, but it's symbolic, and it's, I think it's a wonderful tradition to feed the dead. You know, on our altar, we have oranges and apples and flowers and incense. It smells good, it looks good, and the apples and oranges are up on the altar for a really long time. And after a while, they start to get a little wrinkly, and maybe they smell just a little bit. But that's such a wonderful teaching. That reminds me that I'll be like that apple one day. All sort of wrinkly and smelly, you know. But that's okay. That's what's supposed to happen. We should be happy if it does, because that means we had a long life, you know. I know the people that die young, they always look good, you know. James Dean, he'll never get old. He looks great, you know. But he lost a lot of his life dying young. And most of us, if we're lucky enough to have a full and happy and productive life, are going to be old and wrinkly. But we earned it. We were here. This is Earth. This is difficult. We have hurricanes. Sometimes it's 105 degrees. Man, if that doesn't kill your skin, I don't know what does. You know? So we feed all the people in the memorial altar, and then we process over to Ananda Hall, which is another one of our buildings. And we have all the tables set up for the monks. So sometimes we have 10, 20 monks, and they all sit at the table. And you know, monks don't talk a lot when they're eating. They get two meals a day. They got one thing on their mind, food. So they're all sitting there, and they're waiting for the food. And what happened when Moggallana fed the monks? Wow, he got all that merit which he could transfer to his mom. And what happens when the lay people feed all the monks? They get all the merit too. And sometimes they keep the merit to have a better life. Sometimes they give the merit to all the elders and people who have been, who have left us, all the ancestors, transfer the merit to them. So their life is better. So now the lay people line up, and they all take a dish from a giant food table, and they process around, and they fill your plate. They put, you know, how much do you want? One teaspoon, tablespoon, ladle, how much do you want? And you, so after 10, 20 people start putting food on your plate, it's, you know, like a mountain. And you hate to do it, but you say, well, okay, just a little bit now. Just one tomato, please, a small one. Okay. And there it is. And now you eat. And the deal is, as a monk, you want to eat as fast as you can so the lay people can eat. Because the lay people don't start eating until the monks are finished. So when it starts, stay out of the way. Because they're going like crazy. And you can't touch their food, because if you touch their food, you transfer ownership to the person touching it. And then it has to be re-offered. And what a hassle that is. So when you see monks eating, just stand back, don't touch their food. Enjoy the spectacle, because pretty soon it'll be your turn. And then you get to eat, and the monks can watch you then. You know, and so it's a wonderful way to remember the departed. It's a wonderful way to look at ancestors and say, because of them, I'm here today. It's also an important consideration when you think about the three times we die. Somebody really smart came up, every human being dies three times. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. What does he mean by that? Well, he said, the first time we die is when we find out that we're mortal, that we have to die. So this infinite life that looks like it's ahead of us is not. And that's the first time we die. And the second time we die is when we actually do die and go 6 feet under. You know, and of course that, as a Buddhist is concerned, is temporary. That's just the body, you know. And something else, the karmic energy, will be reborn sooner or later in the future. And now the third time we die. And I hadn't thought about this before, but it makes so much sense. The third time we die is when the last person on earth speaks our name. Speaks our name. And at our memorial service, we have a list of names. People give us the names, and we recite them to keep them alive another year. And when you go to the memorials and you hear all the names being read, man, that's to keep them alive. We don't want to lose them. They're still here if their name is spoken. So Ulambana is a really important ceremony. And it allows us to get in touch with ourselves and with our ancestors and all those moms and dads that have passed away. It allows us to sort of remember them in a special, nice way. And some people in the Buddhist tradition, and maybe the Christian tradition too, have a little altar in their house. And they have a picture of mom and dad and maybe the cat that died 2 years ago. And the dog that's, you know, died 4 years ago. And during the day, they might just glance over and say, yeah, they were here. They changed my life in a special way. And I can never pay them back, but I can show gratitude and understanding to what they've done for me in my life. So this is sort of depressing. It's Sunday, it's a beautiful day outside, but it's something to think about occasionally. And the older I get, every time I look in the mirror, it's sort of, you know. In fact, I have one of those real IDs. You know the California real ID? I got one. It wasn't too bad. I was like an hour getting it. I had the proper paperwork, and I flunked the test. But then I got to take it again, and I passed the test, and I said, okay. Because I hadn't taken a written driving test for 10 years. I forgot. I thought it'd be easy. It's a little difficult. Then it was time for the picture, so I went over to get my picture taken, you know? And the guy clicked, you know, and he said, here's a paper copy just to see what it's going to look like on your driver's license. And I went, man, you know? What happened to the throat? Where did that come from? I said, don't you guys have Photoshop? You know? Can't you just make it just a little better? And he said, sir, that is the real you. man, I don't know how life works. So I brought my harmonica today.
La 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 la.